Here we go, Richie Neal. I'm going to ask you stuff. Let's talk about it real fast and then move on, even though they're all important. The Scalise shooting and its aftermath.
Tragic, and I hope that we dial back the rhetoric that has so inflamed partisans across America. And I also certainly wish him a speedy recovery. And I think we're reminded in these instances of how the tone of national politics has changed, certainly during the last two decades.
The future of the Housatonic River cleanup. You know, there are many of us who are very concerned that GE isn't doing enough here.
Right, and I also have requested a meeting with the Administrator Pruitt to find out if he has decided to shift gears on this issue. I intend to follow up on it. There was the contours of an agreement had been reached with EPA, GE, certainly the state was invested in this as well. And if there's to be a reversal of that agreement, we need to know now and why.
Nobody knows more about tax reform than you do, but Trump keeps talking tax reform. What can we expect?
Well, the difference that I think that we have here is not about the need for tax reform. It's about the idea that they are likely to cut taxes and call that tax reform. The tax system in America has not really been turned upside down since 1986, before the Internet. And I think that we all agree that it's inefficient and underproductive. And in Massachusetts, we are a careful reflection of just about every aspect of the federal tax code. So I'm hoping that we can reward greater research and development, which is one of Massachusetts' great strengths, and at the same time figure out how to unlock that money that is offshore to bring it back for productive purposes. And I would say that the most important thing is a tax system that improves the quality of life for all members of the American family.
What about the 180 on Cuba that the United States is threatening to do? I mean, it's not exactly a 180, but that's what Trump is saying. Let's take it all back.
I think it's ill-considered and short-sighted. We've made significant inroads, and the best way to make changes in Cuban institutions is to introduce them to our form of representative democracy and freedom in the marketplace as well. I think that I visited Cuba with the Pope a few years back, met Fidel Castro, met Raul Castro, Alarcón, and individuals at that time. And I think that the inroads that we've been making on trade, for example, very important. And I also think visits only can inspire the Cuban people to demand more individual liberties in the arena of democracy.
So, Richie Neal, what are the chances the Democrats are going to retake the House in 2018?
Well, they're a lot better than they were 6 months ago. Yeah. I think right now, when you consider that the historic number, when you have a president of one party aligned with a House of Representatives and the United States Senate, the average pickup is 32. So I think the momentum is on our side. I've been a big supporter of Ossoff in Georgia. And I think that if he pulls that off, one of the things that you will quickly see is you will see a fracturing of Republican support for Donald Trump, because Ossoff has run a Georgia-type Democratic campaign, and I would be happy to welcome him to the Democratic caucus.
So talk to me about the infrastructure promises that the president has been talking about from the very beginning and in the campaign. Is he serious? Are you happy with what
you're hearing? Well, he's not. Clearly, I think that there was room there the day that he took the oath to begin working on a massive infrastructure program for the country. Water, sewers, highways, bridges, airports, rail, and all of those items, I think, when you visit Europe, you quickly conclude we're falling behind. And I also think the extension of broadband into hill towns where we live, I think that that would be a very important part of the consideration. And where I disagree sharply with the president, he has moved away from the campaign position that he took, where it would remain a federal responsibility, understanding that it was Eisenhower, Rayburn, and Lyndon Johnson in the Senate that were the ones that constructed that enormously successful initiative in the 50s called the Federal Highway System. And I think what Trump is saying is we're going to do it with tolling. And the problem with tolling is that you then, when it comes time for maintenance, you're paying back the investor rather than doing the maintenance. So I'm against tolling based upon what happened with in Indiana. I'm against the privatization of a public responsibility when you consider what happened with parking meters in Chicago. And I think that the government should be taking care of infrastructure and maintenance. And I think that it's high time, after the divide that we've had in America now for two decades about infrastructure, we get on with a big investment, and I've been consistent on this for many, many years.
Let me ask you about the health care bill, which is now being done in secret in the Senate. To many of us, it looks like a terrible situation and anti-democratic. Nobody knows anything.
It is. I'm glad you raised that, Alan. It took us 3 years in full public view with more than 100 meetings in public. Amendments were accepted from Republicans, and we wrote the ACA in view of much public analysis and indeed critique. But not to miss the point, it was done in public. And I think that this idea that they're doing what is now 1/6 of the economy, and by the way, quickly headed toward 1/5 of the economy in closed-door sessions, nobody even knows where they're meeting. And I think that the Affordable Care Act, and we knew there would be some problems with it in the individual marketplace, but we have added 23 million people who now receive health insurance. And I think we cannot take our eye off of the fact that it has been successful and that this is what our focus needs to be, to get the Affordable Care Act back to the full confidence of the American people. And you can't do it if there's a secret meeting someplace where people are threatening to undo the markets that have been created.
So what does the average American do about this? I mean, I know it's causing a certain amount of fury. I live right over the line from Columbia County, where people are going and sitting on John Faso, the Republican's lawn.
Here's the example. I mean, when you consider that the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, which is the referee, because they provide numerical support and data for congressional expenditure, and it's generally based on what is predicted to be the outcome over a decade. They've indicated that 23 million people will lose health insurance under the American Health Care Act, which is the Republican plan. Now, what's going on in the Senate, I'm assuming at the moment, is not going to be the AHCA. It's going to be something that they're just going to bring back and then ask for an up or down vote in the House of Representatives. And the trouble with that is, not only is it bad policy, but it's inconsistent with everything they said 7 years ago about the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act, once again, was done in full view of the American people.
Richie Neal, very, very quickly, we got out of the Paris Climate Accords. As a guy who is sitting in the United States Congress and watching it all go on, has that cost us already?
It has cost us, and I think that we're retreating in the world, and America is the indispensable nation, and we lead the way on this. And here's the other thing that I try to point out all of the time. When we move away from that responsibility, it's generally the Chinese now that are becoming the substitute for us, whether it's in Africa or it's in Australia or it's in South or Central America or across the Middle East. When America steps back to protectionism, when America steps back, I think, to isolationism, the void is filled. And then our responsibility, while appearing to be less, only endangers, I think, representative democracy across the globe. And in terms of leadership capacity, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, they look to America for leadership. And the idea that we would walk away from the Paris Accords is a terrible mistake.
Richie Neal is the congressman from Massachusetts 1st District, where I happen to live. Richie, thank you so much for taking all this time with us. I know how busy you are. I know how indefatigable you are. You know, I just can't believe how active you've been in our district. So thank you so much for doing all of that, and we appreciate it, and we'll see you the next round.
Thanks, Alan. That was terrific.